Thank you very much, Jim. I'm so excited for Forbidden Door this Sunday. It's going to be an excellent pay-per-view show. It's got a great lineup of matches, and some of the recent developments, I think, have made the card even more exciting. I'm really thrilled about the participation of our partners, and I think this is going to be an awesome event, and I want to make sure we can answer as many of your questions as possible. So I'll get to the questions. I'll try to answer as many as I can in this time. And then for anybody who comes to the pay-per-view this Sunday and is part of the media scrum after, I'll stay and answer as many questions as I can. And I'll try to answer everybody's questions. But we can start with that right now. Thanks, Jim.
All right, Tony. Let's start with Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. And after Dave on the On Deck Circle, we'll go with Andrew Bidala from Final Bell Media. Dave, you're up.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm great, Dave. Thank you very much. How are you?
I'm doing really good. Looking forward to the show. I have like two real quick ones. One is, if the Ring of Honor tag team titles change hands tomorrow night, is there a possibility, probability that that will be in play at Forbidden Door? And the other one is that usually you have 9 pay-per-views a year. You know, obviously you're adding Redemption. Does that mean that you're going to do 10 this year, or does that mean that one of the pay-per-views, like later in the year, won't happen?
Thanks, Dave. That's a great question. To start with that, last year, I believe we did 9 pay-per-views. There's been gradual expansion, and it's worked very well for us. You know, the perception, I think, last year was that it was the best year of pay-per-view we've done, and it's been a slow expansion. Forbidden Door was, I believe, the 5th of the pay-per-views we added, on the way to 9 pay-per-views, and now with Redemption pay-per-views, people are really excited about AEW, and it feels like the past year and a half, has really been some of the best work AEW's ever done, and with so much excitement around the pay-per-views, and obviously our partners love the pay-per-views, and they get great feedback on them, and they love working on them, and the benefits of pay-per-view wrestling. There's definitely a lot of excitement about adding this 10th event. So Redemption would be the 10th AEW pay-per-view on the calendar. And thankfully, we've been able to deliver more pay-per-views while still keeping the quality of the events very high throughout the year. I think that the last AEW pay-per-view, Double or Nothing, was among the best events we've ever had. And so many people have told me they think that's the best AEW event. What's remarkable to me is to have so many people that are big fans of AEW and have been watching for years say that after all this time of putting out great pay-per-views, Double or Nothing was their favorite one, and it's been just weeks ago. And incredibly, internally, people who've been here for years from day one have said that was their favorite night in the history of the company. And I think it was exceptional, and it feels like the pay-per-view calendar this year has just been really strong. So I'm very excited about adding Redemption. As for Friday night, I think it's early to speculate on the result of the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship match in Arena Mexico. When the contract was signed for the 3-way tag, it was signed without that being factored in. So I probably would not make any changes, but also it's probably early to speculate on the result of the title match on CMLL tomorrow. I do think that's part of the excitement of the week. So many great events with AEW putting on a very strong Wednesday night Dynamite show, in my opinion, last night. And then the ROH Global War show tonight is going to be a very strong show. And we've got a big lineup coming out of Global Wars on Saturday, Collision, with some top stars, including a lot of the great wrestlers that you'll see on the pay-per-view on Sunday. And then the big Forbidden Door show. It's been, I think, a great week so far. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to the Global Wars show tonight, which I think has more great wrestling picking up where the Global Wars left off last week. And Friday night in between all those shows, I'm looking forward to what CMLL puts on in Arena Mexico. And it should be a great Ring of Honor Tag Team Championship match. But again, when the 3-way tag was signed, that was not factored in. Thanks very much, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Next, as promised, Andrew Bidala from Final Bell Media. And after Tony and Andrew connect, it'll be Samantha Shipman from
Powerbombs.
Hey, Drew.
Considering
I'm
the
very
theme,
well. Hope you're well.
I am well. Thank you very much. Look forward to this weekend. Considering the theme for this weekend's Forbidden Door event and the growing traction of the My AEW application, is there a potential for a strategic partnership among participating companies in this event, such as New Japan, CMLL, and Stardom, to enable maybe the potential of North American and global fans to access weekly or monthly events and pay-per-views?
I know that those are conversations we've had with CMLL, and we've had good collaboration and conversations with CMLL about working with them on a number of those events. New Japan has New Japan World, which is a great service that I've subscribed to for many years. And I know that a lot of those events are available there, so I'm not sure how that would work, but I'm quite positive that we've had some very nice conversations with CMLL to that effect. And I'm very excited about the launch of My AEW, working with numerous pro wrestling promotions of all sizes all over the world. And I think it's a great opportunity for us and for some of these wrestling promotions and a lot of the wrestlers involved too. So I think that's a great question. And yes, absolutely. There have been some conversations there with some of our partners, and other partners have their own great streaming solutions. So, you know, more to come on that. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Drew. Samantha Shipman from Powerbomb Shells is next. And then after that, we'll follow with a write-in question from Brian Xylem from PW Torch. Samantha, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
You're up.
Okay, great. It's great to speak with you, Tony. Really looking forward to the Forbidden Door show this weekend. Visa issues have been a industry-wide problem for quite a while now. Is that something that you ran into leading up to the Forbidden Door card, even putting the card together and then getting people to TV to help promote the card this year?
Yes, that is a tremendous question. Yes, that has been a massive challenge in this event. There are a number of wrestlers that were factored in coming from countries all over the world that I'm looking forward to their return that are not here and available right now. It speaks to the great depth of the AEW roster that we've been putting on tremendous TV every Wednesday and at Saturday, doing 4 hours of what I believe is very strong television, and that we have such an exciting pay-per-view card without a lot of the great stars available. There are a number of stars in Mexico right now, some great wrestlers that I would love to have here, who've not had their visa in recent weeks. That would include Beast Mortos, Commander, Hechicero, and going through visa renewals with a number of the other wrestlers down there now as well that I have not mentioned yet. And we also have had challenges with a number of other international wrestlers. I was hoping to have Gabe Kidd here, and Gabe Kidd also is another wrestler going through the renewal process. One that I expect back very soon that left recently and I expect will be back very soon, who's a huge part of AEW and is wrestling on the Global War show tonight, representing AEW and defending the title all over the world, is the national champion, Mark Davis. And Mark Davis will be back very soon, but he's been away. I was very pleased to be able to shoot a great match that will be tonight on Global Wars. Mark will defend the national title versus Ace Austin on the show tonight, and has had some great defenses all over of that national title. And I'm looking forward to Mark being back very soon. And I would expect Mark back possibly sooner than some of the other people I named, but hopefully all those people will get everything worked out soon. In the case of Beast Mortos, it's been innovative. I realized that if Beast Mortos could not come here, a great thing would be for Sammy Guevara to go to CMLL and defend the tag team championship with Beast Mortos. They had a fantastic match versus the Viano brothers, the Sons of Viano 3. I think that was a great match, and the fans were very excited about the championship fight. And now there's a lot of excitement around Arena Mexico and CMLL for that tag team championship fight tomorrow night, with Sammy Guevara and Beast Mortos versus Máscara Dorada and Mystico. Obviously, that's going to be a really fun match, and I'm really looking forward to that too. And that's been a great silver lining of the Beast Mordos not being able to come here, which we want him back. At least Sammy's been able to go to Mexico and make those defenses, and it's created new opportunities for us with CMLL also. But yes, that has been challenging. There's also been wrestlers from Stardom that have not been able to come in when, you know, at some of the scheduled dates that I would have preferred. But honestly, Stardom has been the best partner in terms of having the visas organized and getting people in and are set to have Starlight Kid this weekend. And seems like they have not run into a lot of issues there on some of the renewals. And then also a number of injuries. You asked about, which is a great question about visa issues, and that is very true. Also a number of injuries across a number of women and men that I would have liked to have participated in the event have changed a lot of things. So between the aforementioned visa issues and injuries, it's been changes, but thankfully it's a really strong card and I feel really good about it. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, Samantha. we do have a write-in, as I mentioned, from Brian Zylum at PW Torch. I'm going to ask the question on behalf of Brian, and then Amy Nemedy from Wrestle Joy will follow Tony's response. So Brian asks you, Tony, can you provide any updates you're able to share on Tony Storm, Jay White, Keith Lee, and Britt Baker, and whether any of them are nearing a return to AEW programming?
Yeah. Well, they're in different positions, each of them. Some are closer, I would say, than others. I do think those are some great wrestlers you named in particular. We have a number of stars that have been away, some due to injury, and some that have recovered from injury but haven't come back into AEW yet. And I probably would not tell you the exact return dates of all these people, but I do think those are great ones to speculate on, and look out for the return of those. And I would say some of those could be coming very soon. Thanks for asking.
All right. Thanks, Tony. And thanks, Brian. Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy is next, to be followed by Dominic D'Angelo from Studio1Sports.com. Amy.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm quite well. How are you?
I am doing great. I have so many questions about this card. It's really hard to choose. But I actually really want to talk to you about Maya World. From her very first appearance in AEW, Maya has been stepping up in big ways. She and her tag partner, Hyann, had replaced Nixon Newell and Miranda Elise in what became a standout moment for the both of them. And here, she stepped up as a round one replacement for Ceree in the Owen tournament, even competing immediately after tragedy struck her family and fighting and defeating her trainer, mentor, and former friend, Athena. Now she's going to fight Mercedes Moné in the finals for the Owen Hart tournament. Can you talk about Maya World's dedication and work ethic and the strengths you see in her as a rising star in AEW heading into the finals?
Absolutely. I think Maya World has been working so hard. She has been eager to take every opportunity in AEW. And in 2025, she really moved into a stronger position in the company. And then in 2026, she's continued to grow and develop. I think she's had some fantastic matches in AEW and in Ring of Honor. In the Ring of Honor tapings, one of the best matches we've done in the new studio in Jacksonville at WJCT would, in my opinion, be Athena versus Maya World. I think they've had fantastic matches in ROH. I love their Proving Ground match, as Maya World became the first person to survive a Proving Ground match versus Athena. And then the ensuing championship fight I thought was excellent. And then Maya was a very strong standout performer in the Survival of the Fittest match. And now going into the Owen Hart tournament, there have been some changes. I spoke earlier based on Samantha's question with some of the visa issues and injuries that have changed things. We were really excited to have Ceree participate in the Owen Hart tournament. I still very much want her to be in AEW and Ring of Honor and wrestle with us here as much as she can. But when she came, she had a note from her doctor and had a medical file that cleared her to wrestle. But our doctors, when they saw her and evaluated her, they were not comfortable with her wrestling here. And they didn't feel like she should be doing anything physical in the ring and taking any of those risks until she was healed. So we had to make some changes when she arrived, and that happened. And Maya World has been through a terrible personal tragedy. She was also offered the chance, if she wanted to take us up on it, to take some time away. And everybody would have understood. And she would have been welcomed back anytime with open arms. And Maya did not want to take the time off. She was there. It was in Cincinnati. And given that she had come to work, even though we had said that she's obviously, given all the terrible family tragedy that she's dealing with, there was no pressure on her to come into work, but she wanted to come into work. And given this opportunity and the history involved, I felt like it would be a really strong opportunity for Maya as a wrestler, and she wanted to do it. And she's come in and surprised a lot of people. I'm not surprised at all. I think Maya World's excellent. If you followed her work in Ring of Honor this year, it's a great example of somebody making the most of every opportunity, as well as her matches in AEW, also a great example of somebody making the most of any opportunity to be on television and to be part of the team. And Maya World is doing excellent things. She just had a fantastic match against her mentor, Athena, and picked up the biggest win in her career so far to reach the tournament finals. Now she's going to face her idol, the woman who made her want to be a pro wrestler, her hero. And I think that's very cool. And I'm really looking forward to the Owen Hart Foundation tournament matches and the finals at Forbidden Door this Sunday. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, Amy. Dominic D'Angelo from Studio1Sports.com is next, to be followed by Sean Radican from PW Torch. Dominic.
Hey, Tony, can you hear me all right?
I can. How are you?
All right. Hey, good, man. Good. Thanks for taking the calls here, and looking forward to the pay-per-view this Sunday. I'd be remiss not to ask about, there's been reports about maybe Jungle Boy Jack Perry. His contract has not been re-signed yet, reportedly. Just kind of wanted to get your thoughts overall on the career trajectory of Jack Perry, and are there plans to potentially re-sign?
Yeah, I think Jack's been fantastic. I think he's on an incredible run. He's doing some great things with the Elite this past year. He's been in some great matches as part of the team, but also as an individual, Jack's done great things. I loved his matches as the national champion. He had some fantastic singles bouts, as well as being a great member of the Elite, doing all kinds of things, whether it's trios matches with the Young Bucks, the Stadium Stampede, defending the national title against great opponents like Mark Davis and Máscara Dorada. And I just think Jack's fantastic, and I love the match that he had with Zack Sabre Jr. on last night's show. And the plan for AEW and Jack Perry is for Jack to be here for a long time. I have believed that Jungle Jack Perry is a great wrestler for many years. I continue to feel that way, and I like Jack very, very much personally. And I think he's got a very bright future in wrestling. He's got a great mind for wrestling. He's a great athlete, and he loves wrestling. And it's been really gratifying to me, and I think for a lot of the fans, the return of Jungle Jack Perry, and seeing the fans embrace Jack and the great matches he's been having. It was a major change in the Continental Classic, and a huge shift when Darby Allin was knocked out of the tournament. And I think Jack made the most of a huge opportunity entering the Continental Classic, and he had some fantastic matches, and he hit the ground running and made the most of his run in that tournament, and has continued since then having fantastic matches. So I'm very happy for Jungle Jack Perry, and the plan is for Jack to be in AEW for a long time. So that is going to happen. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Dominic. Sean Radican from PW Torch is next, and then I've got a write-in question from Ella J, a wrestling gal. First, we go with Sean.
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm great, Sean. How are you, man?
Good. I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts on Bushiroad selling New Japan to TV Asahi and Cyber Agent recently? And, you know, will that affect anything about your working relationship with New Japan? Or any, just your initial thoughts, and do you foresee any changes coming from that transfer in ownership?
Well, it is a very interesting transaction. It's definitely something to keep an eye on, and it has not changed any of the day-to-day work with New Japan Pro Wrestling. Hiroshi Tanahashi, the president of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and Ghetto are people I continue to work with. And I think it's been the same administration I've worked with earlier this year and last year. So it has not been a change in the sense that Tanahashi and Ghetto are still representing the office. They're great men, and I like them both very much individually and as part of the New Japan team. And I'm very happy for the new owners. They've done a great job promoting the New Japan shows. They're a great media partner for New Japan, and I'm sure that they'll be great ambassadors and owners of the New Japan Pro Wrestling Company. And I'm looking forward to working with their administration. And it feels like there's a lot of consistency and continuity between the administrations, with Tanahashi and Ghetto still leading the office. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, Sean. I've got a question here, a write-in question, Tony, from Ella J, a wrestling gal. And we will follow that with Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful after you address this question from Ella. Before she vacated the TBS championship, Willow Nightingale was reported as a potential women's Owen Hart Foundation tournament competitor. Any update on her shoulder injury and potential return?
Well, that's a great question. We'll be following Willow's progress in the weeks to come as she's recovering from the injury. I was really glad she was able to get out and attend the Supergirl premiere with her former tag team championship partner, Harley Cameron. Willow's been such a great wrestler for AEW for many years. I'd love to have her participating in the tournament. I'd love to have her participating in the show this week. But with Willow recovering from the injury, I think we're all looking forward to her return, which I think will happen relatively soon, I hope. So stay tuned and keep watching for that. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, Tony and Ella. Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful is next, to be followed by Sully Khan from Slam Wrestling. Sean?
Sean, are you muted? All right, I think we're having a problem. Yep, we can hear you now, Sean.
Okay, my AEW has taken off. It's host to a lot of great promotions. Naturally, there are questions about library acquisitions, like things like PWG, Lucha Underground, things that specifically the AEW audience has taken to a lot before AEW is even around. Is that an interest or even a potential goal for my AEW, whether it be like now or in the future?
Sean, can you ask? I just want to make sure I understand the question. Can you ask that again, Sean? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Like my AEW has played host to a lot of independent companies. Is there any interest in library acquisitions like PWG, Lucha Underground, or anything else that AEW fans might like?
I see what you're saying. Well, I'm interested in promoting a lot of these companies, and I think we can work together with them to develop their wrestlers, to develop their platforms, to grow their companies, and get more opportunities for them by featuring their wrestling shows on my AEW. So I think that's a great opportunity. As far as buying the companies and the video libraries, it depends. It would have to depend on the situation. The only library I've gone out and acquired like that was as part of a bigger sale when I purchased Ring of Honor from Sinclair. And that's an incredibly robust library and one of the top wrestling promotions of the past 20 years. And in that sense, it was a major, major transaction. For my AEW, there absolutely could be a great opportunity to acquire some more libraries. It's a great thought. But I'm also very interested in working with the promotions to feature their wrestling, and I don't necessarily have to go buy them out or take over. I think it's good to be able to disseminate and stream a lot of the great wrestling all over the world and give these people a platform. Thanks for asking, Sean.
Thank you, Sean. Sully Khan from Slam Wrestling is next, to be followed by Leonard Serraro, apologies, Leonard, from ITR Wrestling. Sully?
Hey, Tony, how are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to ask you specifically about Tekla and Starlight Kid. Obviously, Tekla has history with Stardom. What is it, in your opinion, about Tekla that, like, fans, as like, and me as a as an AEW watcher, like, I gravitate to Tekla when she's on screen because she just commands that attention. What is it, in your opinion, about her that commands that attention from anyone paying attention to her? Thank you.
Thank you. Tekla's got an incredible presence and charisma and star power. When I signed her, I thought that she had the ability to be a top star in wrestling in AEW, and she's reached the top of the mountain. She's the world champion, and she's a huge part of the AEW shows. I really like Tekla, and she's built something special with the Triangle of Madness, and I'm looking forward to Tekla being in AEW for many years to come. It is very cool that she's been able to connect with the audience, and I'm not at all surprised by that. It's definitely been the expectation that Tekla was going to hit the ground running and become a star in AEW after being a star internationally. She's done great work all over the world. And there were some doubters when I signed Tekla. And I feel like she has proven to everybody that she is a top star and she's capable of delivering great matches and being a top wrestler in a top promotion as she is in AEW. Thank you for asking.
Thank you, Sully. Leonard Serraro, hopefully I get that right this time, on ITR Wrestling will be next. And following that will be a write-in question, Tony, from Ahmed Hamdi from TJR Wrestling. Leonard, you're next.
Hey, hi. Hi, Tony. I hope you're doing well. Can you hear me? Hello?
Oh, yes. Yes, I am doing very well. Thank you. Sorry. I hope you're doing well, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Looking forward to the pay-per-view, and it's a pleasure to be talking to you again. So you're a football slash soccer guy, thanks to Fulham. I would like to know how the FIFA World Cup, if and how, has affected, you know, the booking in AEW or the lineups that you have, and whether you have any special plans to, like, counter such a global juggernaut of an event that's happening, you know, right when such an important stretch of your company is.
That's a great question. It's such an important global event. It's very important to me, as you've said, as a sportsman and somebody who works in global football as part of Fulham Football Club and the Premier League. I'm watching this World Cup very closely as part of the sport of football, but also as a wrestling promoter, sure, I have to look at the dates, and it's very important to look at the schedule and plan to put AEW in the strongest position. When I was looking at the schedule of the matches last night, I felt that with a lot of Spanish-speaking households in the United States, particularly fans of the Mexico football team, it was a great night to feature Místico and Bandido in prominent position and to have their match be at the start of the show in between the World Cup matches and before the Mexico game started, and hopefully got good audience for that. We've been having great results, and AEW's putting out tremendous shows, in my opinion, and also the viewership is very strong. So whenever there's a global event, the magnitude of the World Cup, absolutely, I look out for the scheduling and And also it can benefit the company. There can be opportunities to promote and work with FIFA or the individual stadiums. I was thrilled that when Switzerland was playing and the match was in the Bay Area ahead of Forbidden Door, that one of our greatest stars, Claudio Castagnoli, who is a top wrestler known all over the world, one of the most recognizable people in the sport, one of the hardest working, most respected people in the AEW locker room, somebody we all know in AEW really loves football. I was honored to be able to send him to go do media and represent AEW when Switzerland played in the same market in the Bay Area where Forbidden Door is going to be. And I have a great relationship with the 49ers, and Jed York is a good friend of mine. So it was great to be able to send Claudio to represent the company in the market where Forbidden Door is going to be held this weekend. And Claudio was out there. He did media for AEW in addition to taking in the football. And I think with the World Cup, absolutely everybody in the world of sport has to be following it. And for me, it's more than just the promotion. It's also very closely following the sport. I love the World Cup, and this year is very exciting for the fans here in North America. For us at Fulham, there's a lot of excitement around the event. We have six players participating in the World Cup, including Anthony Robinson from the U.S., Luke Dufuge from Canada, Timothy Castagne playing for Belgium, Issa Diop playing for Morocco, and we have two players on Norway with Sander Berger and Oscar Bob. And some of our players have been doing extremely well in this competition, so I'm happy for them and their teams. And then you asked me about how the event can affect other sports too, and I think when you look at scheduling and planning, it's very important to realize there's going to be a ton of global interest in those matches, and you want to plan accordingly for your scheduling. Thanks for asking.
Thank you very much, Leonard. I've got a write-in, Tony, from Ahmed Hamdi from TGR Wrestling, and then following that, we'll go with Michael Morales Torres from Lucha Libre Online. Ahmed asks you, there are several high-profile free agents who have recently been linked to AEW. Should fans possibly expect any major surprises or debuts at Forbidden Door this year?
Well, I think that a lot of the names that have been linked are still under contract to other wrestling promotions for days or a month or weeks at least. So I wouldn't expect to see those particular people that you might be thinking of, but also on the other hand, there's going to be a lot of big names and excitement around Forbidden Door. And it will be a tremendous event. I'm really excited about it. And my hope is that it's the best Forbidden Door event yet. And I absolutely think that is very achievable. We put on some tremendous shows with Forbidden Door. At times, I think it's been one of the best wrestling events of the year since its inception. And I believe we can achieve that this Sunday with Forbidden Door on pay-per-view and is a great live event. Thank you.
Yeah, there you go, Ahmed. Michael Morales Torres from Lucha Libre Online is next, and he will be followed by Bill Bodkin from The Pop Break. Michael.
Hey, Tony. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm very well. How are you?
All good, sir. Thank you very much for asking. Obviously, AEW is about partnerships and growth. The company is doing fantastic after approximately 7 years in the market, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, AEW during that time has built a very passionate fan base all around the world, specifically in Puerto Rico, my homeland. The island has as well one of the richest wrestling traditions in the world. And I know there are, or the very least, that's my knowledge, at the very least, there's one party or one company interested in purchasing an AEW event and bringing it to Puerto Rico, as well as other promoters as well have inquired or talk about this publicly and, verbalize in public that they will be interested in bringing AEW or an AEW show to Puerto Rico. Obviously, you're focusing in multiple markets at the same time, right? Canada, Mexico, U.S., as well working with multiple people in Japan, U.K., among many, many other places that AEW or AEW talent are actively working at. Is Puerto Rico a priority maybe in the market for the future?
Absolutely. That's a tremendous question. Puerto Rico is a priority market in the future. There could be a number of great opportunities. There's a lot of great partnership possibilities. And Puerto Rico is a legendary wrestling market. So I am very interested in that. And they're such great fans in Puerto Rico. They love wrestling and it's a great tradition. And absolutely, I'm very interested in that. I think it's a great question by you and very insightful. And it would be a great opportunity for us in the future as we continue to visit new territories. Thank you for asking.
Thank you very much, Michael. Bill Bodkin from the Pop Break is next, to be followed with a write-in question from Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com. Bill.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
Going great. How are you?
Good. I won't ask you a Mount Rushmore question like last time, but I will ask about one thing. Is one of the great things I love about AEW is that wrestlers in AEW and other companies can sign dual contracts and make a great living. Given the success and how beloved the Mercedes Moné Hazuke match was, could we potentially see an announcement of more dual contracts being signed by talent from New Japan and CMLL to AEW after this weekend or on Forbidden Door itself?
Well, we have a great partnership there. There's been a lot of interest in those, particularly with CMLL. It has been tremendous. And I know that with the women and men in CMLL, there's a number of great examples of people that are very highly thought of in both promotions. Wrestlers like Persephone and Máscara Dorada and Mystico are great examples of that. And wrestlers of different experience and who all have a bright future. Mystico is a legend with decades of experience, and Máscara Dorada and Persephone are top young wrestlers that I think have a very bright future, and they're all under dual contracts. That's worked really well with the partnership with CMLL. I think there could be opportunity to do things like that in the future as well with New Japan or Stardom if those companies are interested, but it, you know, it takes two to tango, and I also think we have great partnerships there. So they have been working with us for many years at New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's been great working with Taro Okada and Stardom. I really like Taro, and I think he does a very good job. And I think in those partnerships, we haven't focused as much with the Pro Wrestle and the dual contracts as much as we have with the Lucha Libre and CMLL dual contracts. It is a good thought, and certainly Mercedes versus Hazuki was one of the best matches we've had on the show. And I certainly expected that to be a fantastic match, and they delivered and hit every expectation. It was tremendous. And Hazuki is always welcome back here. Whether she represents Stardom or any kind of contractual setup, we'd always love to have her, especially as she represents a great promotion in Stardom. Thank you for asking.
Jim, you're on mute.
I am very sorry. I've got a question from Mike Johnson from PWInsider.com that I'll read here in a minute here, Tony. Courtney Rice from Women's Wrestling Talk will follow Mike's question. So let me call up Mike's question, and it is, Forbidden Door has evolved from a dream crossover concept into an annual event with established expectations. So given all that, what is the biggest challenge in keeping the event feeling special and unpredictable while also balancing the storytelling needs of AEW and the partner promotions? Great question.
Yeah, Jim, it is a good question. I want to make sure I got that. Can you ask that again? I just want to make sure.
Sure.
I got the
yeah.
Thank you.
So Mike's saying, like, Forbidden Door has evolved from a dream crossover concept into what has become an annual event that has sure. established expectations. So given that, what is the biggest challenge, you know, in between keeping the event feeling special and unpredictable while also balancing the storytelling needs of AEW and the other partners?
That makes a lot of sense. I've loved having Forbidden Door. The event has expanded and we've added partnerships, and I think that has really helped. The original Forbidden Door was a partnership with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we continue to partner with New Japan Pro Wrestling, but I'm thrilled that we've been able to add participation from Stardom and TMLL. And those partnerships have been really important to AEW. Some of the best wrestlers we brought in and some of the most exciting matches have involved participants from Stardom and CMLL. So I loved the original Forbidden Door shows, and being able to bring in more partners and more great wrestlers from all over the world, having this international participation, especially now with Stardom and CMLL joining the team of AEW in New Japan, I think it's definitely helped us add more great wrestlers to the show and more excellent matches to the show and more rivalries. And I enjoy working with both those promotions. I think they've put new excitement and added more stakes and intrigue to the Forbidden Door event. And also throughout the year, I enjoy having the participation from Stardom and CMLL. We work really closely with them, and especially with the geographic proximity of AEW's events and CMLL's events. That's a 52-week-a-year thing now, where it's very easy with the shows across North America. And the expectation is several times a month, if not weekly, we're going to see Mystico and Persephone and other great wrestlers here. Those partnerships have been really important to us. And also with us sharing a continent with CMLL and being so close, it has brought us very close together as partners. And I've built a really good friendship and relationship with Salvador. And I think that's helped also. Very excited about Forbidden Door. In some ways, it is a challenging event to put together compared to other wrestling shows, which are also very challenging events to put together themselves. But the presence and participation of partners absolutely does create a different process for putting a show together. And I've been able to keep really good relationships with these partners. I think I've been very honest with them and delivered for what we've said always. So I think that's helped AEW keep the strong partnerships. And also, I think it's helped keep Forbidden Door as an exciting event. Thank you for asking.
Thank you very much, Mike. And Courtney Rice from Women's Wrestling Talk is next, to be followed by Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics.
Can you guys hear me?
We can.
We can hear
okay.
you.
Okay, awesome. Hi, Tony. My question is most specifically towards Stardom and also between Tekla and Starlight Kid, because Starlight Kid's going to be making her AEW presence this weekend, and also on the partnership with Stardom, because we know Tekla has issues with the owner of Stardom, and we have seen Stardom make a presence not just on MLW, but also on AEW with Hazuki, even though Sari could not compete in the Owen Hart Cup tournament. Could it be a possibility we see more presence of Stardom post Forbidden Door and maybe could be at All In at Wembley Stadium?
Well, I would love that. I think it would be great if there was more participation from Stardom in AEW in all of our shows. I think they're great. And anytime we can have great wrestlers coming over, it's always very helpful. Stardom has a great roster, and the people who've come over have represented the company very well. One that I've been trying to get and that I've asked about for years and I've always wanted to have here is Starlight Kid. I'm very excited to have Starlight Kid come to AEW, and I think Starlight Kid could be a great AEW world champion. I think Starlight Kid could be a great champion for any promotion. I'm very excited about that one. That Tekla versus Starlight Kid fight will absolutely, in my opinion, have the big fight feel. Starlight Kid is somebody who I personally believe has everything it takes to be the AEW world champion. So we've had great wrestlers come from Stardom, and we've built a great partnership with them. I do think that having somebody new coming in, somebody fresh and exciting like Starlight Kid that we've never seen here before, does add more interest to the pay-per-view, because she's a great great wrestler and has an interesting past with Tekla as well, and has beaten Tekla before. And the last time they wrestled, Starlight Kid won the match. So I think it should be a great challenge. And Stardom has been an awesome partner. So absolutely, whether it's Forbidden Door or any of the AEW TV or pay-per-view shows, participation from Stardom is very welcome for AEW. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Courtney. Brandon Thurston from WrestleNomics is next. And if we got any time after that, we will we'll just do a write-in here or see what time we have left. But right now, Brandon, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Thanks a lot for taking a question. I was wondering if Anthem Sports and Entertainment were willing to sell TNA, would you have any interest in acquiring it?
At what price, sir?
Let's say $40 million.
No.
But feel free to place it a different bid.
Well, it's, you know, it's when you're, if we were looking, I mean, it has value, and it would have to be the right price, and it's a video library that's had a lot of great wrestlers over the years. It's certainly not the top priority for me as an acquisition right now, but and it's not something I've had any serious conversations about. Like a lot of things in life, it could be an interesting purchase if the price was right. But isn't that true of so many things in life? You know, there's a lot of excellent automobiles out there, and I would love to have them in my garage, but it would depend on the price of the car. And a lot of things like that, I think, are in like that in life, as you know very well from being a great economist and somebody who studies the business very closely. So at that number, no, absolutely not. But I know it's a good thing to ask about, I guess. Is there anything else you'd want to ask while you have me, Brandon?
Sure. So with my AEW, and I see that you're making partnerships with a lot of different independent wrestling companies. One thing that I've heard people discuss is if you end up doing something next year, let's say with AEW Revolution, that's like a big wrestling week where maybe a lot of wrestling companies come together. It seems like it might fit for my AEW to be like this broadcaster and distributor of a week like that on a week where AEW also has a big event, a pay-per-view. Is that anywhere in the nature of something that you're thinking about?
Absolutely, yes. I think that's a great question, and I'm glad you brought it up. I do think there's a lot of interest in having a number of these promotions come and promote around an AEW event. And to your point, Brandon, I do expect some things like that, even potentially around All In. I think there's going to be a lot of great events around All In. I know there'll be a lot of events in England, and I know promoters have reached out about putting their events on my AEW to grow their viewership and collaborate in anticipation of what's going to be, I think, the biggest night in wrestling this year, and certainly is going to be a huge event and the most attended wrestling show in England. And it should be a really special night in London. I know there's a lot of interest there, but certainly in America, I think something like that could work very well too. And I know there are a lot of promoters that would be interested in something like that next year and in future years. And obviously there's potential for an opportunity next year, to your point. So I think that's a great thought, and that is something I am very interested in. So I'm glad you asked. Thank you, Brandon.
Okay, Tony, I think we're just about, would you like to take a write-in? We have one more write-in.
Sure.
excuse me. Or we can wrap it up. What do you think?
No, let's take one more write-in. Let's do it. This is great.
All right. The write-in is... Zach Sabre Jr. has been part of all the Forbidden Door events so far, including this year's. Are there plans to bring him in as a more regular fixture in AEW in general?
I'm a huge fan of Zach Sabre Jr. I have been for many, many years, and it's a dream come true for me to have Zach Sabre Jr. participating on these shows. I really like Zach a lot. I've pushed to have him involved in a prominent position in every Forbidden Door show, and he has hit home run after home run. He is Mr. Forbidden Door in a lot of ways, He's been a huge part of the event. He's definitely one of the most prominent performers in the history of the event. So he is a great credit to New Japan Pro Wrestling as a leader of that promotion. He's been a top star in that company for many, many years. And I think he relishes that role as a leader in the company. And I really respect that. And I love having him here as a leader in New Japan and somebody I can rely on in Forbidden Door season to be here and deliver great matches. Absolutely, I love having him at other events. I'd love to have Zack Sabre Jr. Participate on other AEW shows. But also, I realize he's a very important wrestler in New Japan, and it's important for them to have Zack Sabre Jr. on their shows as well. So in Forbidden Door season, I always look forward to his arrival, and I know I can count on him. He was the person who came last week and was really the lone representative that was on the show last week. And while I would encourage a lot of the people to come and appear in advance of the event, and it gives us a greater chance to promote those wrestlers and develop them and develop the rivalries and matches for the pay-per-view. In this case, I was thrilled he came. And I always love having Zack Sabre Jr. on the shows. I really enjoyed his match last week with Adam Priest on Collision. And I really enjoyed his match last night with Jack Perry on Dynamite. And I'm tremendously looking forward to Zack's match with Kenny Omega at Forbidden Door. They've been two of the greatest wrestlers I've ever worked with. And certainly in the history of the Forbidden Door event, they've been involved in some of the biggest and best matches. And in the history of AEW and in the history of America, they've never fought each other here. So it's something I really wanted to see. And I'm thrilled that that's going to be a big part of the event. And Zack is a great credit and a great leader for New Japan Pro Wrestling, in my opinion. Thank you.
All right, Tony. Well, that is it. Any closing thoughts before we wrap it up?
Oh, this is great, Jim. I enjoyed doing this with you. Great to have you and Robin on here. And great to have so many members of the media that have been covering AEW in many cases since the very beginning of the company. And whether you've come to covering pro wrestling in AEW more recently, or whether you've been following and writing about AEW since the beginning, we really appreciate it. I'm very grateful to everybody on the call. Hopefully I was able to answer everyone's questions. If there's anybody who has more questions, we'll certainly try to get you on either the next media call, or if you can attend a pay-per-view in person, I try to answer every question from every person there. And I really appreciate you all. And thanks for making the time today. And I hope that you all enjoy the Forbidden Door pay-per-view this Sunday. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Tony. And Jack, what Tony said, thanks to everybody here. We are in fact at time now, but per our custom, we will be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. So be looking for that. And then, you know, also per our custom, you know, we want to thank you for your interest in and passion for professional wrestling, as Tony mentioned. Your coverage is all part of the industry, and everyone at AEW is grateful for all you do. So with that, we're going to say goodbye until Sunday night in San Jose for Forbidden Door. Best wishes to everybody. Cheers.